Okay.
Oh, Dave.
Ollie.
Hello.
Ollie, when'd you get here?
Can we start that over?
Sure.
Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Holly. What's going on? Welcome to the Morning Breakfast Show.
Welcome to What Difference Does It Make?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're...
The podcast.
We're doing a podcast. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
What Difference Does It Make? Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are in a rather somber week in music.
It's not... I mean, it is somber, but it's been nice in that I've been... And I'm sure you have been listening to the music of Eddie Money and Rick Ocasek or Kasich.
Yes,
Rick Ocasek, as I believe it is his name is.
So for 40 years, I've been saying Ocasek.
I have too.
Now everybody is saying Ocasek.
I saw Stephen Colbert did a wonderful tribute to him, but he kept calling him Rick Ocasek. But then I go on YouTube to figure out how to say his name. And in this little video clip, he says, "Hi, I'm Rick Ocasek."
Hi, I'm Rick Ocasek, and I turn confusion into a virtue.
Okay, so we got the official.
I believe so.
Okay.
So
thank you for that.
So it is Rick Ocasek, but I will probably flub that up and say Ocasek once in a while.
We'll know who you're talking about.
All right. We do know Eddie Money.
Eddie Money.
It's pronounced Money.
Money, but his born name, birth name was Mahoney, right?
Yeah, here's a fun fact. His name is Mahoney. His mother is Jewish.
I know. I just saw that. I had no idea.
He was a police officer. I thought he was always Irish Catholic or, you know, something like that. But apparently he's one of the chosen.
He is officially one of the chosen ones.
Yeah.
But he was only on the police force for 2 years because music was it for him.
Of course.
Yeah.
Policing was a gateway drug to rock and roll.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He said he told Rolling Stone in an interview that he would have been a very lenient cop.
I would imagine so.
Yes.
I would imagine there was a couple incidences where Eddie was talking to police for some reason, one way or another, for some indiscretion.
On the receiving end.
On the receiving end. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he was thinking, if this was me, I'd give him a free pass or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe he had a way of talking to cops to get out of situations.
Yeah. So if it's not obvious to our audience, we're dedicating this show to Rick Ocasek and Eddie Money.
Yes, indeed. They were tremendous artists that I grew up listening to Eddie.
Icons and huge influences. Influences. And sometimes it's unfortunate. We've talked about this with other artists where you don't, I mean, I've always appreciated them, but I kind of, with Eddie Money, I was a fan. But I kind of, you know, I don't want to say I lost interest. I didn't follow his later years. But now going back, as we've done, I really feel like I should have appreciated him more.
He had an amazing amount of hits. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Who was the bigger artist, according to Billboard? Was it Eddie Money or is it the Cars?
It's funny. I would say the Cars, but you're probably going to tell me Eddie Money.
That is correct. It is Eddie Money. Eddie Money... was the, in the 20th century, was the 175th biggest artist.
Wow.
And that's bigger than Bob Dylan, Steve Miller, INXS, Dolly Parton, R.E.M., and the Cars.
Holy shit. Is that based on number one hits?
Those
or
are based on singles.
Okay. Singles.
Yeah, which isn't surprising. I mean, I remember Eddie Money albums. You know, I remember the first album was... Mm-hmm. Actually, my dad bought it because he loved the song Two Tickets to Paradise. That was like the first rock album that I think we both shared. Like, oh, you like this. I like this too.
That's bonding. And that was 1978.
Yeah. So, I think that was probably the first rock and roll album that my dad, you know, dad goes to Licorice Pizza and bought the Eddie Money debut album. But for the most part, I mean, you don't really think of Eddie Money in albums. You think of singles.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a lot of them. He had, you know, Take Me Home Tonight. Made up to number four. Yeah. He never had a number one hit. The biggest hit was Take Me Home Tonight in 1988.
Is it cliche that that's my favorite Eddie Money song?
No, not at all. As we talked about, that's, you know, the singles. You don't necessarily know a lot of the albums.
Yeah. What's your favorite song? Sorry, you're giving me statistics. I want to know your favorite song.
Well, I mean, it's always Two Tickets to Paradise. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's what reels it's you iconic. Into Eddie Money.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, it's still, you know, as you go down the rabbit hole, you start the YouTube rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You see it on King of Queens. You know, they used that, Eddie Money was on that show, and Two Tickets to Paradise was kind of like the theme of the show. They played a lot of that. And then you see Homer Simpson singing Two Tickets to Paradise. And then you watch the Geico commercial. He was running the Eddie Money travel agency.
And declaring,
hey, I've got Two Tickets to Paradise. He's singing the song. Like, okay, that's a good idea.
No, I mean,
obviously, Eddie had a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
You know, he was in on the joke. It wasn't like, you know, we're making fun of you. These are iconic songs. This means a lot to the world.
Yeah. He recognized it, and he's
And so, you know, it's kind of humorous, but it's acknowledging, this was and is an iconic song that everybody knows.
Yeah. Yeah. God, there were so many. I mean,
and that wasn't even in the top 5 of his songs. Two Tickets. Baby Hold On was a bigger song.
Is that true? Wow.
I'm just basing this on, sorry. Are you okay? Are we going to have to do a memorial for you?
I dropped my pen.
Oh,
you might
okay.
have to do a memorial
okay,
for
wasn't
my pen.
Okay.
Because I'm marking up my notes as we speak.
I'm sure on the rock charts it was bigger. It's funny because you think of Eddie Money as a rocker, but he had pop hits.
It was.
And so Baby Hold On was made up to number 11. That was his first hit,
mm-hmm.
big hit. I think Two Tickets made it at
22.
Up to 22?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it wasn't even top 20, but, you know, it's still iconic on rock radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the songs on rock radio and top 40. There weren't a lot of songs that could cross both of those genres, you know, like popular
yeah, you're right
and
about
rock.
That. Yeah.
But Eddie and actually the Cars were both in that category.
Yeah, but we probably first heard them on rock radio on Canada West or KMET. No?
No, I was listening to it when I was 12, 13.
KHJ?
Yeah, KHJ, KFI.
Yeah, KHJ, you're probably right. Wow.
Oh, I am, yes. No, that's exactly where I heard these songs first.
Yeah.
So Baby Hold On was his third biggest hit. He had a song in 1990, Peace in Our Time, made it up to number 11. And I want to go back. He performed it on Letterman in 86. And then kind of like as a surprise, and he's singing in 86. He looks like Glenn Frey in 1986. He looks straight out of Miami Vice. It's hilarious to see it. But then during the middle of the show, Ronnie Spector, comes strutting out and with the huge 1980s hair
and sings
her part of Be My Little Baby and doing the oh-oh-ohs. And it was great. And just seeing the smile on Eddie's face that he's singing the song with her. It was wonderful. That's a good thing to pull up and watch. Do you subscribe to the Lefsetz letter? Bob Lefsetz?
I don't subscribe, but I do read it. I read it on occasion when other people post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people write in all the time to it. And so when Eddie died, people wrote it. He wrote a tribute. And so other people wrote in. There's a couple letters I liked. This one is, my name is Cindy Fitzgerald. I'm the ritzy sorority girl Ed mentions in one of the interviews regarding the genesis of Two Tickets. Anyway, I am not so ritzy, but Eddie and I have had an almost 50-year love affair. Baby Hold On and Two Tickets are about my mother trying to split us up. I created the brand Eddie Money, suggesting to him that just dropping the ah from Mahoney was fairly honest, and everybody likes money, right? There is no nicer guy than Ed, and as you might imagine, I am totally brokenhearted. Those early songs were real life for us, and Ed would often give my mother credit for his career. She helped, but it was his talent, his very hard work, a bit of luck, and timing, and you know what? It was his destiny. It really was. So that was that's from Cindy Fitzgerald,
who
had a relationship with Eddie and Eddie's muse.
It's nice to hear this stuff. You almost wish, I mean, how you would have felt if you had known these stories.
Oh, yeah.
As you were listening to the songs. I did not know that, did you?
No.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, and he was, you know, there was a couple other letters. There was, this is from, I don't know if, you know, on Facebook or, you know, I'm sure a lot of your friends are in radio. I'm sure you saw a lot of photos of people with Eddie Money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so this was from John Michaels. He says, like anyone who was in radio during a certain period, I had multiple encounters with him. And for most of it, I wasn't even in a large market. Every radio friend I have on Facebook posted a picture of themselves with Eddie. He visited every station. He called everybody. He remembered names. Radio Pal noted that he could have been a VP at Columbia because he got promotion with a capital G-O-T, got promotion, better than anyone. old school promotion, shaking hands and kissing babies, mentioning station call letters and jocks' names when he was on stage in their city, and always saying thanks for the airplay. The critics may not have understood, but we did.
It seemed genuine. It always seemed genuine. People genuinely liked him, and he seemed genuine doing that stuff.
I think so. I was at a convention that was for radio and music supervision, and this was like maybe 10 years ago. And so he was probably there mostly for music supervisors. But, you know, he was there. He got it. He's like, I need to say
but
hello
the importance
to these people.
Of it, but it's important, but it's just a part of your life. It's like integrated into your life.
Yeah. But it comes natural. I mean, some rock stars are like, you know, above it all. But Eddie understood it. It's about
Or they're doing a job and rolling their eyes.
Right. It's not just, there's more to it. You know, there's you have to sell the music too. Yeah. I mean, you could be an artist, but there is a lot of marketing to the job. And Eddie got it. And so that's kind of cool that everyone got a picture with Eddie. He got it. He knew what to do, you know, how to sell his songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever watch his reality show?
I never did. Did you see it?
Nope. I've never seen it.
Never.
It seems, I don't know. I'm not a reality show person. I've never watched any of those, but it's some of them. I don't know. He just seems, he might be an interesting character.
Yeah. It might be something to pull up and watch, but yeah, I'm not, I think I watched a little bit of, I watched the Osbournes.
Yeah. I think they interesting, different than Ozzy, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. You know, there's Gene Simmons has his show. So, yeah, Eddie got one of his. I'm sure it was.
It surprised me, though, because he always struck me as a little more low key. You know, even with the, you know, promotion and, you know, being out in the field, so to speak, he still seemed more of a low. I mean, yes, he was a rock star, I guess, but just low key. I wouldn't have guessed he would have had a reality show.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, he got it. You need to keep your name out there. And that was this was something to keep his name out in the public eye, you know, people, your kids, they don't know who Eddie Money is, but they probably know Two Tickets to Paradise.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm sure if you play, they might not know the name Eddie Money, but they know the song.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's because of Eddie Money getting out there and, you know, making sure that the music always got heard.
Yeah. I was reading, do you know anything about his wife?
No.
Lori Money, which I guess she went by that name too. They got married in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she did not know who he was at the time. No matter, you know, I guess they had met in 1985. But, I don't know. I felt like from day one, we know, from the first note of the first song, we knew who he was.
Well, sure. But if you, Eddie Money walks up to you in a bar, would you know, hey, you're Eddie Money?
Yes, I would.
If he introduces himself as Eddie.
Yeah. She also said she used to get him mixed up with John Mellencamp.
Can understand.
Yes.
And the Left Set's letter, speaking of money, he signed it Eddie $.
Oh, that, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know, what else could that be? Money takes too long to spell.
Eddie Dollar.
So anyway, he died of esophageal cancer.
Esophageal. I think that's the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, it was esophageal cancer. Donations on behalf of Eddie Money can be made to the Eddie Money Cancer Research Fund at the USC Norris Comprehensive Cancer Center.
Let's take a break before we start talking about Rick Ocasek.
Good idea.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Welcome back to What Difference Does It Make?
That was sad to hear. And then like a few days later, we got news that Rick Ocasek had passed away.
Yeah. Not similar artists, but the same, like similar impact.
It was. Although 78. I think 78 was the debut of both of these artists.
Yeah. They had a huge impact, Rick Ocasek. Huge impact. I always think about, I have a group of friends, a group of guys that I've been friends with since pretty much elementary school, that I can't think of the Cars without thinking about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has a doubly good association because I love the band. I love Rick Ocasek, Ocasek's persona, and I love my boys.
All right. Shout out to Holly's crew.
To Jeff, Michael, and Adam.
Okay. Is this the first album or what was the album?
From the first album.
Yeah. I was going to ask if did you ever see the Cars live, like in concert? Did you take the crew to see them?
I don't think I've ever seen them.
Yeah.
And have you?
No, I never did. I'd always heard, and as I watched performances as I went down, they were not the most dynamic performers.
No.
So it was never, kind of studio wizardry, I think, the magic that they made.
Magic.
Yes,
speaking of. You were going for that.
No coincidence I said that.
But he still had a presence. Rick Ocasek still had a presence. And Ben Orr, you know, who is a cutie. But
indeed.
But Rick Ocasek had a presence that still, it still brought you in. You were still fascinated by him. And well, I know it wasn't a great stage show, but.
Yeah, well, that's where I think the videos came in.
Yeah.
It was a good replacement because they made iconic videos.
Very creative.
Insane. Yeah, they got an MTV Video Vanguard Award.
Yep.
Well deserved.
Yes.
Yeah, because we grew up on those. Those songs are amazing.
Can we talk about his age for a second? Because I'm seeing 70 and 75.
Okay. So he was 75. I looked on the New York Times, the obituary. They actually had a little blurb about was Rick's, because they were panicked because they had to print something, and they kept seeing 70, 75. Mm-hmm. But they did the research, and. And he was 75. They like on yearbooks, like in 63, I think he graduated high school or something like that, which is amazing in that it took a long time for Rick Ocasek and the to make it big. He was in his 30s. And I think he was probably 34. This might be a record label thing. Like, you know what? Let's just say you're 29 instead of 34. Yeah. It makes you sound, you know, you're still in your 20s. So I think that was part of it. But
okay. I trust the New York Times.
Yeah. So, yes, he is definitely 75. Yeah. I think it was him and Ben Orr were both the originators of the Cars. And, trying to make it work.
Such a great original sound. You know, such a just. I mean, I guess it always said the same thing about Eddie Money. it really takes you back to a time when you first heard it. And these songs were so – you didn't hear anything else like them at the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I first heard Just What I Needed, I loved it instantly.
Yes.
And I went to Licorice Pizza to buy the record. And then I played the record, and I did not like it. It was weird to me. Couldn't get my head around. It was like, these are weird songs, like weird beats. Something is going, like, you know, moving in stereo and I'm in touch with your world.
Yeah.
That actually, but now that's one of my favorite, like, I'm in touch with your world. It's just kind of, I was listening to it the other day, and it's just like a slowed down Devo song, and it's got like bells and whistles. You know, Greg Hawks, who does the keyboards, was doing like all these sound effects. And it's just there's like that crank sound, you know, just making all these different noises and just weird lyrics. Like I'm in touch with your world. It's like, you know, the Weisenheimer brainstorm. you know, I always thought Weisenheimer was like another, like Einstein. Like, oh, what are you?
Weisenheimer?
What are you, Einstein? What are you, Weisenheimer? But that Weisenheimer is an actual word. It wasn't a person.
Oh, what? No, I know it wasn't a person, but I always thought it was just a smartass.
Yeah, kind of. But I thought Weisenheimer was an actual person.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So
no.
Weisenheimer. What was it? I'm a psilocybin pony. I'm a psilocybin pony. You're a Flick Fandango phony. Like, what the hell does that mean?
What does it mean? Well, you didn't dig around?
Psilocybin is a mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a psychedelic mushroom. I'm in touch with the world. It's pretty much like a psychedelic
trip. Everything.
Yes. I'm in touch with you. So don't you try to hide it. Yeah. So I didn't get that, but it was like, what are these words? What is this? So it took me a while to get into it, but I didn't give up on it for some reason. I think I like Best Friend's Girl, of course.
Yeah.
But I kept playing it over and over, just like there's something about it kept me drawing me in. And now, I mean, it's next to The Pretenders, probably my favorite debut album of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was better than The Police or, you know, any of that stuff. But
can you pick a favorite song?
I was listening to other songs by him. And there's like these little moments that I love. There's the song Heartbeat City.
Mm-hmm.
He's singing that Jackie's back in town. But there's a thing. He makes this little noise where he's thinking to himself. You know, like you make a noise and you like you think about something. You make like you know, just like
yeah.
He does that. He's saying, you know, now that Jackie's back in town, and then he pauses and goes and like that's brilliant because you know like. He's thinking about this girl, and that was it's just like a natural reaction. This is great.
Oh, I have to go back and listen to that.
Yeah,
now.
So that was just really just a little touch that like sells it for me.
Yeah.
And so I love that. From the album Candio, there's a song called Got a Lot on My Head, and most of it is you. It's like got a lot on my head. It's on my head. Shouldn't it be in your head? And then, you know, so then you think like, oh, well, maybe it's like thinking like it's weighing down on me. That's why it's a lot on my head.
I never thought about that. You're so cerebral, Dave.
Well, I am.
Because yes. I knew the meaning of it.
But I was just like, got a lot on my head. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's funny. But so those were like the, because I was going down listening to the playlist of songs, and those were the things that kind of stuck out immediately. He just had a nice touch with songs and, you know, add little touches. He, you know, producer.
He was a producer.
You know, created Weezer's Blue and Green Records.
Yeah. Do you know he produced Hanson also?
Did he? Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Did you know he produced Never Say Never, Romeo Voice?
Yes, I know. I did not know that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was another thing. I was listening to Sirius XM U. And they played Teenage FBI. And Janice was in the car and I was listening to it. I'm like, God, I love this indie pop stuff. I just love this song so much. And then, you know, they came on the air, a person came on the air and mentioned, yeah, you know, Rick Ocasek produced that song, you know, produced the song. I'm like, well, of course he did. This is a brilliant song. This is, he Guided by Voices were like this indie lo-fi band and they, we're going for the big time, I guess. And Rick kind of just brightened up this album, And it's one of my favorites. The album Do the Collapse, Teenage FBI, Surgical Focus, Hold on Hope. Mm-hmm. That was, he was part of the band for this this album. Because, you know, you hear these touches that are clearly hit, you know, part of the Cars or part of Rick Ocasek's sound. And so I think to this day, that's one of my favorite albums, as well as Weezer's. I mean, you know.
I really appreciate that when an artist can impart, when a producer who was an artist can impart their sound on the band, like Jeff Lynne, for example.
Sure.
Where you know who produced it. I mean, some people have a problem with that. I think we've talked about that before.
Right.
But I like it. Obviously, you feel like the artist.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people had a complaint about it. You know, like a lot of people were like, this is not Guided by Voices. You know, they're changing up their sound, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know what? They have the potential to sound this great. And so that was, I love that album. Yeah. He was a big fan of Suicide, which is, and were you familiar with them? Like this duo?
No, but I did see that. I didn't know them.
Yeah. Dream Baby Dream is a song that actually Springsteen covers now. He sings in at his show, most of his shows. He covers that song. But yeah, Rick produced that. And he was kind of like a mentor for the band. Because I remember reading interviews with him. He always mentioned this band, Suicide. He seemed to really love what they did. And so he kind of, you know, helped in as much a way as he could.
I like that. I like hearing that. I like.
And obviously he had a sense of humor too. That Colbert, he was on the Colbert Report a couple times.
Yes, I have seen him.
Doing like certain man on the street type things. That's great.
It's so funny, his way, his droll, you know, just his manner.
Certain, very droll. Yeah. And just kind of like, what is, just a weird looking guy. Weird delivery.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I didn't like it at first. Like, you know, just like, what is this? What's going on here? But
weird looking guy gets the supermodel.
He certainly does. I know. They're like, all right, we're not good looking. We're not going to put ourselves on the cover. Because I know I looked it up on the debut album. It was Natalia Medvedeva was, she was the.
That was the model?
Yes.
Oh.
This is the album which I brought. Natalia Medvedeva.
Okay.
Natalia Medvedeva.
So we like the foreign ladies.
Apparently. Well, we'll put the band in the back. And you can barely see Rick in the back. Yeah. He is like looming in the back. You got to put who's the good looking guy? Ben?
Moore. Yeah. Well, I like Rick Ocasek's look. I always have.
Oh, it was a great look.
Yeah. Not classically good looking, but I could have happily have seen him on the cover.
Yeah. No, I mean, actually, I loved the five pictures of the band in the. Yeah. I'm taking out I have the album that I actually bought.
This is so 80s, even though I know it was 70, right?
Yeah. No, they were ahead of the time.
Yeah.
They had this, it was a classic rock, but it was new wave. It was, you know.
Oh, we're going to post this. This is awesome.
It was like the Police.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
You know, classic rock, but also, you know, firmly in the future, their sound, and it was really nice.
Yeah.
This was, I think, as I was reading, as I look on the back, this was originally supposed to be the cover. David Robinson, the drummer for the band. He kind of designed the cover, but the band, the label is like, no.
It's busy.
It's too, exactly.
We'll post the inside.
And Ben Orr says he did not like this cover.
Really?
Yeah. Like that smiling face. It's too much.
Because they're not a smiley band.
Yeah. And then, of course, I think of Candio.
Yeah.
Which was one that I spent hours staring at.
Yeah.
Because they understood me. I don't want to look at the band. I could look. But, I mean, today it sounds like, as I was thinking about it, it was like a Spinal Tap type thing. You want to put a woman in a leotard laying on her back in a car.
Sounds so Whitesnake.
Totally exposed. And you want that to be your cover? Well, yeah. Don't you think it's sexy? Sexist? Well, there's nothing wrong with being sexy. Anyway, I'm replaying my own Spinal Tap scenario. But yeah, it says, as I was reading, that, you know, it was created by Alberto Vargas. He created the cover.
You got the pronunciation right.
Yeah, I know. Well,
or you could say Alberto Vargas.
Oh, okay.
Alberto Vargas.
Very nice. He painted pinups for Playboy and Esquire.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He was retired. And then David Robinson, he contacted him. He was 83 at the time. He'd been retired for several years, but he persuaded him to take the assignment by his niece, who was a fan of the band.
I think that happens a lot, where someone will get involved with the band that their kid is interested in.
Totally.
Yeah.
The painting depicted a woman sprawled across the hood of a Ferrari 365 GTC4. Was based on a photo directed by Robinson at a Ferrari dealership. The model, coincidentally named Candy Moore, famous for having played Lucille Ball's on-screen daughter on the Lucille show, on the Lucy show, which I did not know.
No.
This is the next shocking statement. You ready to hear this shocking statement?
Yes.
Afterwards, Candy Moore dated David Robinson for a while.
Oh. Big surprise.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rock stars and models. Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew they go so well together?
Who knew? Yeah.
But that was, they met, Paulina met Rick.
On the video for Drive, right? The video shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked out well.
Yeah.
They were together for 28 years.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, but they still seem like they had a good, at least what was
good
shown to the public, a good relationship, as, shit happens after that much
time. As far as I know, yeah. I mean, So they still saw each other, apparently.
Yeah.
I guess they, they had kids together. And,
Do you know he had a lot of kids?
I have no idea.
I think he had, he had four other children from two previous marriages. So I guess a total of six kids.
I did not know he was married. You know what? He was probably, he had their starter marriage, I'm sure, before he became a rock star. Usually that's it. She pays for the groceries and helps support him. And then he became big, and
he finds somebody else, then he fell in love with a supermodel. We just made up a whole life story for him.
Well, it's a familiar story.
Yeah. Hey, did you remember that they lost out Best New Artist?
I did see that.
I did not remember that, but
I just saw it recently. But it's funny. Who did they lose out to?
A Taste of Honey.
Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. I love the song. I love the song Boogie Oogie Oogie. But
sure.
Best New Artist, how do you?
I know.
Come on.
That's funny. Yeah. I remember actually when Candy O came out for the first, and I heard it on 64 KFI. I heard the first single was Let's Go. But I didn't know the name of the title of the song. I thought it was I Love the Nightlife.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, well, that's
Alicia
Bridges. That's a song by Alicia Bridges. Can you do that? I didn't know that. So I remember calling them up asking for, can you play I Love the Nightlife by The Cars? Not
Did the person on the phone know what you were talking about?
Desperately. Like, that news? Because it just got like, there's a new song. But, I'm, of course, freaking out.
Yes.
I'm talking to a radio station. And, and it's a new song by The Cars. Like, you got to play this. It's great. And so.
That's really funny. That's it. I guess.
I still remember that. Yeah.
I love the nightlife, baby.
I love the boogie. On the disco. Oh.
I love that song.
Yeah. That's a good song. Not as good as Let's Go.
No. It also known as I Love the Nightlife.
I Love the Nightlife. I love the It has clapping in it.
Yeah. Wait, do you really like to boogie?
Let's go. What?
Do you really love to boogie?
Who doesn't love to boogie? Still. 2019, still boogieing.
Yes. Say that to your kids. Try it. I dare you.
Yeah, I do. Of course. all right. Well, let's wrap up this ep.
Do you think we've adequately expressed our appreciation for The Cars and Rick Ocasek?
Well, we tried. I think we did our personal best touch as much as we could. We will have a Spotify playlist up for both artists.
Yeah, we're going to have to fight about which songs we want to.
Well, I mean, you could add songs. That's fine. That's the beauty of Spotify. You could add and subtract songs if you like. Let's add on. Let's do this. The quiz deck.
The 80s, we're now calling the 80s music trivia quiz book.
Okay, let's do the quiz book. Now I
think
have
you
to
ask me.
It. Right. Okay, so I'm asking you all of these quiz two questions. They are six. Wait, let's see. Ooh, there's 10 questions.
Do you want to ask me all 10?
I'm asking you all 10. Let's
see. How fast?
Okay. Which of these albums by the Eurythmics was released first? Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, Touch, Revenge.
Revenge?
I am sorry. Oh, Sweet Dreams.
Sweet Dreams.
Okay. Who released the song Burning Heart in 1985?
Survivor.
That is correct. Which of these songs released by the group Duran Duran was released first? I Don't Want Your Love, The Reflex, or Notorious?
Reflex?
Correct. 2 for 3.
Yay me.
In what year did ABBA release the album Super Trooper? 1980, 1982, 1983?
82.
Incorrect. 1980. 2 for 4. Who released the song Nikita in 1985?
Elton John.
Oh, well, there we go. 3 for 5. Who had a hit in 1984 with the song When Doves Cry?
Prince.
I'm sorry, I did not hear what you said.
Prince.
Okay, please enunciate when you talk into
Prince.
It. Okay, thank you.
Prince Rogers Nelson.
Let me look that up. That is correct. All right, 4 for 6.
Pretend you don't know.
Okay. Who played the drums in the group Van Halen? Was it Michael Anthony, Eddie Van Halen, Alex Van Halen?
Michael Anthony.
That is incorrect. Alex.
Alex! Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
No?
Alex okay. Van Halen.
Fun fact, Eddie was the drummer first for the band.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Here's another fun fact. Michael never played drums. he played the Jack Daniels bass.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, it was like a bass shaped like Jack Daniels bottle.
Oh,
like
the
Jack,
bottle. Like yes. Jack like, who the hell is Jack Daniels?
Try my patience, Holly.
Yeah, showing my... Go. Move along.
Moving along. Okay, just moving along.
Next question, please.
All right. The song Every Breath You Take was released by which group?
The Police.
Please let me finish by...
Really? No. Can, we can move it along faster right. if I yes. just answer the question.
That's correct. Okay, we're 5 for 8. Which song by the group Foreigner begins with the phrase, I gotta take a little time to think things over? Should I say... Okay.
You give me the choices.
And that was Yesterday. I Want to Know What Love Is. Waiting for a Girl Like You.
Waiting for a Girl Like You?
No.
Oh, I Want to Know What Love Is.
Yes. All right. This is your 5 for 9.
Uh-oh.
Let's see if we can get a
I'm not very good at this.
Let's see if you can get...
I'm showing that I really don't know that much about music.
And going for 60%. Let's see.
That's a D.
What song by Tina Turner has a chorus that contains the phrase, All We Want Is Life Beyond the Thunderdome? What's Love Got to Do With It? Typical Male. We Don't Need Another Hero.
We Don't Need Another Hero.
That is correct. Congratulations. 6 out of 10.
Yay. I got Yay. A D.
All right. D equals degree. You get a degree in 80s.
That's true.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Holly.
And thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yes. Where can you find us?
You can find us on Facebook if you're old, and okay. you might be.
Okay.
At What Difference Does It Make Podcast.
Okay.
You can find us on Instagram, WDDIM Podcast, and you can find us on Twitter, WDDIM Podcast. So please do. Like us. Give us some thoughts. We need thoughts. We need to fill our head with more thoughts.
Obviously, because, you know, 60% isn't going to cut it.
I suck. I'm going to study this week. I'm going to know a lot more about music when I come back next week.
Excellent. All right. So then, until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com. BetOnline.com. Code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.